Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and welcome to Bookworm. This is a show with Jay Perini. Jay Perini has written many books, but I think this is the most extraordinary. I got a call from my friend Ed Beattie telling me that I ought to read Jay Perini's new book called Borges and Me, An Encounter. It's published by Doubleday. And from the moment I began, within 20 pages, I couldn't stop reading. You might say, yeah, I'll just bet a literary book about Borges. No. Jay Perini had gone to Scotland to escape the draft during the war in Vietnam. He was a graduate student there. A poet named Alistair Reed, who frequently wrote essays for The New Yorker as well, was his mentor. Alistair Reed was translating the poetry of Jorge Luis Borges together with Borges. Reed had a family crisis, had to go away, and left Jay Perini, who had never really heard of or read Borges, to take care of Borges there in Scotland. What was the first encounter like?
I frankly had never heard of Borges. Alistair had mentioned that there was this wonderful Argentine writer coming, but I didn't know who he was, and I wasn't that interested. I was interested in my own writing. I was interested in my PhD thesis, which I was trying to push through. I was interested in avoiding the Vietnam War. I was just beset with problems. You know, I had a woman that I would like to have been my girlfriend that I was chasing around Scotland, and rather stupidly and badly. I was completely, 21, 22, going on 15 or 16 emotionally. I'm afraid I was really, really, really immature. And then Alistair calls one night and says, Jay, can you please just look after Borges for a little while? As you know, he's blind, but I've got to go away. And I sort of said, yes. And I had just bought this 1957 rust bucket of a Morris Minor. And I turned up at Alistair's house. And Alistair said, bye, Jay, took off with his son, Jasper. And Borges said, oh, it's so good to see you, Jay Perini. He said, are you related to the poet Giuseppe Perini? I said, no, I don't think so. He said, I'm going to call you Giuseppe, if that's all right. I said, I'd rather Jay. He said, no, you're a Giuseppe. And he said, listen, I hear you've got this wonderful car. I said, yes, it's a little Morris Minor. He said, oh, good, I have to meet a man. It's very urgent up in Inverness in the Highlands. Can you drive me there? He said, on the way, I want to see Scotland. I said, but Borges, you're blind. He said, oh, no, Jay, don't tell me you're blind, too. I said, no, I'm not blind. He said, good. He said, you will describe the Highlands to me. I've always wanted to see them. And he said, Alistair says you want to be a poet. You've got to learn to describe. He said, poetry is simply description. And description, Jay, is revelation. I said, fine. So we took off the next morning in my car and drove to Inverness and stopping at various sites along the way. And I never thought of this as a book, Michael, I've got to tell you. This is 50 years ago, and I've been telling anecdotes about this to my students and friends and family for 50 years. Every little incident has come back to me in a dream again and again. And I only just recently got the idea from another friend that I could try to write it out, and I did, and oh my word, it just flowed out.
It's not like reading, Jay. It's like gliding, first of all. And second, it is a road novel. You've written a road novel starring you at 22, and Borges was how old then?
71 going on 72, which is what I am right now as I wrote the book.
Wow. When I was in junior high school, we were all of us given the opportunity to decide, to choose between learning Spanish and learning French. And all those people who chose to learn French were very lucky because they could read No Exit by Jean-Paul Sartre eventually, or The Stranger by Camus. But gradually it emerged that there was a whole contemporary Spanish literature in South America, really beginning with Borges. Before that time, South American literature, as I was given it to read, was about drainage dishes. It was really shockingly dull. But Borges comes on the picture and shakes everything up, both in short stories and in poetry. But Borges seemed to me at the time to be the most intellectual of intellectual writers, sedate, restrained, and the Borges we meet in Jay Perini's book, Borges and Me, is anything but sedate and restrained. Borges is as much a madman as Walt Whitman. He's inventing himself as he goes along. He's inventing the world of literature. Tell me about that, Borges.
I've kept a journal since 1965, and I've been a pretty fanatical journal keeper. And so I went back to my little road trip with Borges and to see what I could find. And I found bits and pieces, whole conversations that I just wrote down the conversations. And the very first one was when we pulled into a bar in Lower Largo, which was the home of Robinson Crusoe, Alexander Selkirk by name, because Borges was very keen on Crusoe and wanted to go there and see the home of Alexander Selkirk, Crusoe. And we went into the pub, which was called the Robinson Crusoe. And Borges, I said, so, and I knew where I was going to be on going all the way with the Inverness with Borges. And I said, Borges, what can I get you? He said, oh, typical Scottish beer. I don't drink. I never drink in my life, but I'm going to drink this time. I feel like I must. I said, okay. I got him a pint of export, brought it to him, and he's totally blind, and he put his finger in the beer and swirled it around and then sucked it, slurped it off his finger. And I'm a little bit OCD, and I couldn't stand it. And I thought, oh, my God, God almighty, I'm stuck with this old blind guy. And why did Alistair do this to me? And here's what I wrote down in my notebook. I said to Borges, just the conversation, I said, so, Mr. Borges, no, mister, please, just Borges. I said, okay, Borges, Alistair tells me you're a writer. And he said, a writer? Oh, Alistair, he's always exaggerating. I said, so you mean you're not a writer? He said, no, I write these little tiny short stories or essays. I don't even know what they are. They're a few pages. And I said, well, how many novels have you written? I'm already dismissing him. He said, novels, dear boy? Never, never wrote even one novel. I said, well, tell me, Borges, did you never want to write a novel? He said, Jay, Giuseppe, my whole life I dreamed I would write the great novel of the Pampas in Argentina. And there would be gauchos, and there would be wars, and there would be beheadings, and there would be murder, and there would be fratricide and matricide and patricide. He said, Jay, listen to me. Generations would rise and fall. Decades would come and go. And he stopped and looked wistfully in the distance. And I said, so, Borges, what happened? Why did you never write this? He said, Jay, after 30 years, one morning, I got up and I went to my desk and I wrote a 200-word review of this novel. And that satisfied the impulse.
In addition to being a genius and a madman, Jorge Luis Borges is an old man.
He was.
What's true of old men when on a road trip? You need to stop very often, so the elderly man needs to take a pee. It's just inevitable.
Yes.
It's not infrequent either. Maurice Sendak told me that he and Philip Roth met each other when they were walking on West Side Drive. in a bathroom because both of them needed to take a pee. And that's how they met. Once again, we have a young man, a young student of literature, who has no idea that Borges is probably the greatest and most original writer, living writer of his time. Instead, he's someone who always needs to stop and take a pee.
I remember we got to we were stopped by the roadside on our way to the Perth, and on the first day out, and Borges suddenly raps on my shoulder with his cane. Dear boy, stop the car. Stop your car. I said, what's the matter, Borges? He says, nature, she is calling. She calls me. And so I sort of got what he meant, and I pulled over. So I got out. I said, Borges, you're peeing on my car. He said, doesn't matter, does it? And he took his cane, and he slapped the hood of my car with the cane and said, I christen you Rocinante. He said, this is Rocinante, you know, the lazy horse of Don Quixote. And I said, that makes me Sancho Panza. He says, it does. I'll call you Sancho.
Well, it's not just that. You have to confess to Orjegui Borges that you haven't read Don Quixote, which is the novel for a Spanish-speaking writer, the classic novel. You come to a B&B, what amounts to a bed and breakfast. It has only one room. You find one spare bedroom. You find yourself being put into bed with Borges. You're sharing a rather small but queen-size bed. And the only bathroom is in the landlady's bedroom. Yes, so yes. Repeatedly, Borges wakes up and tells you that you have to help him find the bathroom, yes?
Well, listen, he's blind, and he could not find his way itself. And we had to weave down the hall, and the landlady, who was a little old widow, she's very unhappy about the fact that I keep pounding on her door all through the night. We have to go in front of her bed, and she sits up in bed with her little hat on. She wore a hat in bed, and she had these pince-nez she would put on. She'd turn on her light and scowl at me as I would lead Borges into the bathroom. I would close the door, and I would go and sit on her bed, and we'd wait. And this happened, you know, maybe 14 times that night. The last time I put Borges in there at 4 a.m, and she was by this time absolutely furious. She's a very religious woman. She had a cross of Jesus hanging above her head. She had the Bible next to her bed, and it was constantly quoting the Bible to me. And I waited and waited, and Borges didn't come out. And finally, I said, "Borges, is everything all right in there?" He said, "Well, give me another minute." And I sat down. Finally, I said, "Borges, are you all right?" He said, then finally, there's a swoosh of the toilet, and he says, "It is finished. It is finished." And the little old landlady said to me, "The last words of our Savior." Well, at one point, when Borges didn't come out, she said, "You know, it's very sad. My old man, Baldi, he died on the crapper in there, the crapper." Baldi died on the crapper. And I told this to Borges, and he said to me, "You know my father in 1938, he died on the crapper." And he said, "Did you know it was named after Thomas Crapper, the great Victorian British engineer?"
He's crazily generous to you. He believes that he's met a young writer who is his soulmate. The two of you, he knows, both have difficult mothers. Both have difficulty with girlfriends. He tells you a story. You say, in other words, you were impotent. And Borges says, "I do not like this word." And you say, "Well, we don't have to use it." Somehow, Jay, you manage to make him the great literary figure that he was, while also making him a thrillingly unusual and crazy old man. How did you do both?
But like all books that work, I think that They just flow out. And I didn't think about this, I hate to tell you, very much. You know, I sat down, looked at my old notes, and started writing. And the book flowed out because I had a Borges in my imagination. I had dreamed all of these scenes. Again, I mean, I've dreamed about Borges for 50 years. And these scenes have come back to me again and again. And I've, you know, obviously since then read Borges again and again, so much so that I've ransacked all of his books. I have practically memorized his stories and essays and poems. And so, and I kind of realized that Borges understood that I didn't know a damn thing about him. For me to ask him if he was a writer right off the bat, you know, he kind of enjoyed the fact, I think, that I had no idea who he was. And so he gave me a kind of tour of his fiction in a weird way. And so I realized in retrospect, year after year, it would come to me that he was kind of introducing me subtly to his world. And so in writing this book, one of my key ideas was to give us a tour of Borges' own fictive universe. And so I quietly allude to libraries and encyclopedias and riddles and labyrinths and mirrors, all the things that Borges loves so much.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to KCRW's Bookworm. I'm talking with Jay Perini about his new book, Borges and Me, An Encounter. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Reptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Jay Perini about his new book, Borges and Me, An Encounter, a philosophical road story with insight into the personality of a literary master. And I think whereas someone else might easily enjoy the road novel by Jack Kerouac, On the Road, I found Borges and Me the greatest road novel I've ever read. Jay, my hat is off to you. I've read you before. I've read the novel you wrote about Tolstoy, The Last Station. I read the biography you wrote about Gore Vidal, because we both came to know him, you far better than I. I've read some of your poetry and some of your essays, Why Poetry Matters in particular. And I have to say, I don't know what is the expression, I wouldn't have guessed you had this in you. This is such a wildly funny book, and at the same time, a tender book. Maybe it's because I grew up living with my grandmother in my house, who was here from Russia, and I was her favorite grandchild, the child of her only child to have been born in America. But I know what it's like to fall in love with the vagaries of an old, mystical, beautiful, wise person. And you seem to be absolutely in the power of one of the great writers the world has ever known, one of the greatest, who is presenting himself to you as someone who gets wet in the rain, steps in puddles, falls in rivers and lakes, has to be retrieved and drawn out, whose clothes need to be changed, not our Borges. And as a result of this, we see Borges in your book in a thoroughly new light. This is not a Borges I've ever known, and all the readers that I've read so far are grateful because they've always thought of Borges as the chief librarian of Argentina. As Borges tells us, Perón demoted him to poultry inspector, but he was no longer in charge of poetry, but of poultry. Jay, I have to tell you, I think you have written one of the great books of our time, one of the great American books of our time. You call it an encounter. Do you consider it to be a novel or nonfiction? How do you place it?
Well, you know, again, my model was Borges. What do you call his essays, which are really short stories? I mean, Borges did, one thing he taught me was, he said to me, and I planted this throughout the book. Borges said to me, he said, I was recently in Israel, and I walked into a bookstore, and I said, where are your novels? And they said, no, there's just one shelf. And the Hebrew word is siporet, and it simply means narrative. And he said, I make no distinction between fiction and nonfiction. He said, anything that passes through memory is fiction. And I had that primarily in my mind as I wrote this. And I didn't want to say Borges and Me, a memoir. The first time I wrote it, I wrote Borges and Me, a novel, because I didn't have a tape recorder with me. I had like 4 or 5 pages of notes with bits of dialogue in it that I'd written down at the time. But I was really just having to remember and invent the dialogue. So I thought, well, this is really a novel because I'm making up the dialogue. But I'm not making it up. I'm remembering it. But I'm remembering something that really happens. So then I said, no, wait a minute. These are real people. This is me. This is Alistair. This is Borges. This is Alistair's son, Jasper. This is my best friend, Jeff Lerner. Jeff read my book and said, this is exactly the way I saw it. You know, it happened. And I said, so Jeff said, it's a memoir. So I thought, well, okay, let's just call it Borges and Me, an encounter. And in many ways, it's an act of language is all I would like to say it is. It's an act of language. And so many of these lines, I for years thought, example, the one thing I wrote on my notebook at the time was, because I was so impressed, was Borges kept talking about storytelling. He said, everything is storytelling. And he said, Scheherazade from 1001 Nights is the master storyteller. And this is all I care about, telling stories, stories that are true.
It's beautiful. I have to tell you, I've never read a work that might be somehow aligned to literary criticism, literary narrative, that I've enjoyed as much as I enjoy Borges and Me. And one of the reasons is, in addition to all of the ribald and scabrous episodes, Borges himself wrote a famous short piece called Borges and I, Borges y yo. And Borges describes himself as constantly in dialogue with the person who wrote these stories, who may be yo, I, or who may be Borges. And here we meet Borges beautifully accepting, not condescending to, not speaking down to, someone who is not yet his equal, but who Borges sweetly, generously, tenderly insists will someday be his equal. You will be a poet. You know, the danger zone in this book, it occurs again and again, is having someone who knows poetry say, show me your poetry. The most dangerous, horrifying, scary thing you can say to a 21-year-old poet, show me your poetry. Alistair Reed says it to you. He says, having been a student of Robert Graves, he will correct the poetry. Borges doesn't seem to believe in correcting anything. He believes in living life full throttle, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, I did remember so vividly and painfully how I finally summoned the courage because Borges kept asking me to show him a poem. And I had this really painful, unrequited poem of love I'd written in my notebook. And I read it out loud to Borges, this poem. And he listened very, very carefully. He said, "Oh, I just love that poem, Jay. I love it." He said, I wrote the same poem." And I said, "You know, I mean, you wrote a poem something like it." He said, no. He said, "I wrote exactly the same poem. And yours is simply an English translation of it." I said, "Well, that can't be. I've never read any of your poetry." He said, "Don't think of it that way. Literature's not like that." He said, "We're all simply rewriting the same poem over and over again, always with our own language. But it's every," he said, "every poem is a translation of some earlier and even possibly greater poem."
Well, what you got to do was to live in a Borges story and at the same time to live in a Borges story about the young Jay Perini learning to be capable of accepting what Borges has to say. And among the things he says, "I wrote everything."
Yes. Well, yes. When I asked him, when he said to me earlier, I mentioned, he said that 1001 Nights, Scheherazade, is the greatest work ever written. And I said, "Well, Borges, who actually wrote 1001 Nights?" I said, "I'm not familiar with who wrote it." He said, "I wrote it." I said, "What do you mean you wrote it?" He said, "Jay, you don't understand. I wrote all the classics. And he said, "It has so annoyed my contemporaries."
Oh, this is beautiful. I've been talking with Jay Perini, author of Borges and Me, An Encounter, published by Doubleday. Thank you, Jay, for joining me.
I've enjoyed it so much, Michael. Thanks for having me on your show. I really mean that.
I loved having you again, especially with a book as wonderful, as entertaining, as joyous as this one. I want to tell my listeners that due to the pandemic, we are taping each from our respective residences, so you might hear unusual sounds. You can visit kcrw.com/bookworm for a podcast of today's show, also available at Apple, Spotify, and all other podcast services. It can also be listened to on demand with KCRW smartphone apps. It's even broadcast twice a week in Berlin. Special thanks to Bookworm Show collaborators Alan Howard, Sean Sullivan, and technical director Mario Diaz. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she's a bookworm, we are all bookworms. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks.
He's a bookworm, she's a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Barbara Kingsolver is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.